Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.
Thanks again to Jay Billis, hanging out with us here in studio. And, of course, one of our favorites, Marvin Wilson, who is back for more destruction at Florida State for the football program. We've talked a lot of hoops today. We've talked some football today, as we normally do, trying to incorporate everybody in the league in some shape, way, or form. Let's now bring on Eric Montross, who was front and center last night as North Carolina played better, but just wasn't able to close the deal. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning. Yeah, doing just fine, but I don't have to go to practice today. So I'm doing better than the guys are, is my guess.
But you know what? The effort and intensity last night was much better than it was against Georgia Tech. And, again, I know that Coach Williams made some comments this week on his coaching show. I know his kids responded to it. They just got beat by a team last night that shot lights out in the second half with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that this team, we're going to have to celebrate baby steps, if you will. I think that, you know, Carolina basketball has been very fortunate over the years to be able to kind of hide deficiencies. And that's not the case this year. They've been able to hide it with great individual performances. And we've had some. I mean, my goodness, 35-11 out of Garrison Brooks against Georgia Tech was a great performance, but it was really overshadowed by the team's inefficiencies. And so it's tough to swallow for a lot of these guys right now. But I think the real challenge is from a coaches and players standpoint to really stay positive, because this team, everybody gets it. Everybody understands that there are some areas that they are deficient in, that they have to get better. But we may just have to celebrate the little steps along the way.
Eric, I want to ask you about Garrison Brooks, and am I playing to the crowd here asking a big about a big guy? To me, his improvement is, I think it's market. I think he's gotten better every year he's been in Chapel Hill. The question about Garrison Brooks, I guess, is as Carolina takes these small steps, can Garrison Brooks take a bigger step to help them more than he already is, given their situation?
You know, Wes, it's a really good question. I think it's one that is on the minds of a lot of Carolina fans, because I don't think folks have ever thought of Garrison as a headliner. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that he is not a very good player. And he has been the most consistent player to date this year. And in years past, he was overshadowed by the likes of Cam Johnson and Luke May, and the list can go on. But he's always been consistent. He has always come doing his job. And, you know, a lot of times you hear in sports, control what you can. Garrison controls what he can. And whether that's as a supportive teammate or whether that's on the court doing the little things, sometimes doing the heavy lifting. But I think that the one thing that I have been really impressed with Garrison this year is that when he is in a screen and roll, he pops out, and if he catches the ball, he takes a jump shot. There is no hesitation. And one of the things that this team has been up against is that the Carolina team has had some hesitation in their offense. Garrison, when he catches it, he doesn't make them all, but he catches it and takes a nice short jumper. You know, within that 17-foot range, he's got a really good chance of making the shot. And so I think that Garrison may not be the full answer for sure, because I think the team has some more needs than just that. But I think that he's a very important part.
Eric, what was your take on Roy Williams' breakdown of his team on his coaching show? I mean, he was only being honest, wasn't he?
Well, he was being honest. I actually have that on my to-do list today to go back and listen again to the full to that full comment. It was taken a little bit out of context from the ESPN headline that ran. And so if you go back and you listen to the full piece, it didn't sound as bad as what it was made out to be. The one thing that we know about Roy Williams is that he wears his emotions on his sleeves, but he's never going to throw his kids under the bus. And that's what it appeared to be in the headline. He is not that kind of coach. He's not that kind of man. He loves his players. He is very frustrated, I'm sure. The players are very frustrated. He is trying to find any way to motivate them. But I think the point was that oftentimes, and I won't try and surmise too much as to what he was, what he said or how he said it, but I will say this, that oftentimes in post-game comments, he will talk about being a more gifted team than the opponent when there is a lopsided win. And he acknowledges that a lot. And so I think that he sees it as talent levels and tries to call a spade, but he's not ever going to throw his kids under the bus.
You know, the interesting part about this team, and Jay Billis was just with us at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock, and we were talking about the league as a whole, Eric, and that's really kind of the one storylines that, and maybe the most developing storyline of the ACC is, yeah, Duke's having a good year. Florida State's awfully good. Louisville can show some flashes. But elsewise, Packer, what'd you call it, a glob? We got a glob of teams, Jay, Eric. We got a glob of, you know, six, seven, maybe even eight schools that are just kind of there. So we really don't know what's going to happen, even after a small sample size.
Right. And I think that's, you know, and to some extent, I mean, you guys have been around this league for a long time. And, Wes, I had just an absolute life's pleasure of working with your dad for 6 years and listening to him and watching him analyze the league. I mean, we've seen this league is a terrific league. This league, absolutely, to use a phrase that I used earlier, it draws out every inefficiency that you have as a team. It will be on stage because the teams that are playing you are good enough to expose that. Yeah. You can't hide anything in this league. And so I think that that's part of what we see. And the parity amongst this league historically, whether it's, big time matchups or matchups between the top and the bottom that end up being, having an outcome where the lower seeded team beats the top seed, it just happens. And I think that's because of the caliber of coaches. They're going to be there. The three coaches that are the all time winningest coaches in college basketball are in the ACC, in Boeheim, Krzyzewski, and Williams. And you look at that and you say it only, you know, there are some really good young ones out there as well.
Clemson this weekend. When you played, Eric, how big a deal was there any conversation of the streak when you played?
Well, let's go back about, 26 years?
Whatever.
And realize that. Hey, easy there, Wes. The news print was literally a paper print, and so there was not all the kind of talk that's out there now on social media and instantly attainable by everybody, and so it stares you in the face, and it's a lot to talk about. And it maybe wasn't the storyline because we were awfully good, so it wasn't as much of a primed pump for Clemson to come in and have a chance to break that streak. As a player, I think we were aware of it. I never remember it being a menu item that I thought about. I just think that we were also caught up, of course, for me individually, Sherrone Wright, great center, was at Clemson for 4 years. It was much more important to focus on stopping Sherrone than worrying about the outcome of the game as a whole. Again, back to the moment we talked about Garrison Brooks saying control what you can. And I think that that's something that this team will be aware of, but they're not thinking about that. That was a long time ago when this started. As they say, streaks are made to be broken. You don't want to be that team. These kids don't want that to be a storyline, but you know, it's the ACC and things happen.
All right, I want to change gears a little bit, and there's been a lot of discussion obviously about 879 with Coach Smith and obviously Coach Williams since the win over Yale, and that the next one would be 880, which obviously would push him past Coach Smith. And I think Roy's done a phenomenal job talking about just what he learned from Coach Smith and the influence of Coach Smith, not on just coaches, but players and even people that just interacted occasionally with him. I want your funniest Coach Smith story. Because I know there's always the things I remember the rest of my life things, and then there are the things that Coach Smith actually did that made you laugh. Like my favorite Dave Hanners, when he tells the story about Coach Smith throwing Mick Fleetwood out of Carmichael when Fleetwood Mac was coming in to actually do a concert in Carmichael, and Mick Fleetwood was testing the drum kit, and Coach Smith walked over and asked him to stop playing, and 10 minutes later he started playing again, and he ultimately threw Mick Fleetwood out of Carmichael Gym.
You know, it's amazing. In the span of 24 hours, Eric, we've had Joe Forte come on here.
Oh, yeah, Joe Forte.
About how he threw out
Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett, and now we have a Mick Fleetwood ejection from Coach Smith. It's amazing what we learn on
this
show.
Maybe he just wasn't a music fan.
So give me your favorite funny Coach Smith story.
You know, you need to prep me a little bit before this to get the absolute funniest, Wes. But I think that here's what I remember about Coach in practice. It was always a very serious setting, but he would never berate us. He would never embarrass us in front of our peers. He was direct. He was instructive. He was held us to the highest of standards, but he would never break us down in front of our buddies. But I remember in practice one day we were playing and Brian Reese was in the corner, and we see this a lot, right? What I'm about to describe, a shooter is in the corner behind the three-point line. They catch the ball, and what happens? They take their back foot and they step out of bounds, as either they set up to take a shot or to make a play or to make a drive. And so Brian caught it, and this is in practice, and just stepped out of bounds. Well, the whistle blows. Coach Smith blows the whistle. And as only Coach Smith could say, and I won't get his voice right, but you'll have to forgive me for that, he says, "Brian, don't they have out-of-bounds lines in the Bronx?" And, you know, and it was this moment where he said, where he's teaching, and he says, "How can you be so silly to step out of bounds? We've been playing within these lines forever, and you know that they're there. How can you do that?" So instead of just berating him and making him feel tiny, he just sticks the sword in and pulls it back out. You barely notice the cut. You barely notice the blood, but the message is delivered perfectly.
There you go.
Eric, the Coach Smith's practices, I would assume that the consistency of the practice had to be amazing now that you look back at your time doing that.
The thing I remember about the practices is that it was a well-oiled machine. Of course, I don't know that how many teams do this, but our practice plans, and even with Coach Williams, are always posted prior to practice. And there are offensive thought for the day, defensive thought for the day, and then overall thought for the day that have to be memorized and then are applied during practice throughout the entire practice. That was thing one, but also the fact that the timing was so, a stopwatch was running the entire time and the managers would hit the marks, and you never went over by 30 seconds. It was, if this was a drill that was 4 minutes long, that's how long the drill was. Whether or not the team was doing a great job of playing or if they were doing a poor job, there was no more. Today, it was 4 minutes. If you do a really poor job, then we might do it for the next 3 days for 4 minutes, but it was a 4 minute stint. And I recall just how intense it was. There was no walking between stations. There was no downtime. It was a very efficient process. And I think that as players, and even as I left Carolina and went into the league, one of the things that players really appreciate is efficiency in practice and time efficiency, because nobody wants to do something for 45 minutes straight. You start to lose your focus no matter what level you are. So I think that the thing that I appreciated the most was how timely it was, and also just how much he included the part method teachings that then rolled into an end of practice regimen where we put it all together. But as a player, you barely knew that's what you were doing. It was just, you were just doing the next drill, and at the end you rolled all together, and there's the finished piece.
What the?
Hey, thanks for the time. Hey, by the way, is Jones trying to grow a beard? Did I see that last night on television?
You know, not last night. He was early on, and I think he achieved some level of beardom. But he's shaved it. And interestingly enough,
yeah.
And Jones razzes me. I razz him all the time. But somebody came up to me independently. It's funny you mentioned this. They said, "Boy, I'm sure I'm glad Jones Angel cut that off of his face. He looked a lot better." And I said, "Well, you know, give me the define your term a lot better. He's never looked all that great."
You know, that sounds awfully familiar.
Yeah.
Around these parts when Wes Durham was going trying to grow the beard for a while.
I had to grow a beard after a little fall in Central New York, and I was trying to grow a beard, and it looked like a $1.10 effort, to be honest with you, Big E. So
But who doesn't hate shaving? Let's just put that out there. I mean, I remember my dad telling me as a kid that, you know, don't ever, you know, I'd stand in the mirror with him and try and rake the peach fuzz off your face, and he said, "Don't do it, because once you start, you'll never be able to stop." And I'm thinking, yeah, right. That was so cool. I wanted to be just like that. I tell you, it's a nightmare every day.
I'll be honest with you. There's one negative about this show.
Shaving.
And that's shaving.
Yeah,
I swear to God, it's the number one worst thing about this show is that every day you got to shave.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if this was radio, Lord help us all.
Yeah, we'd all look good.
Yeah, spectacular.
Hey,
Rip Van Winkle.
You got it.
Yeah. Hey, be well. We'll see you soon. Thanks, as always, for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy your show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Eric Montross, one of the great Tar Heels, old 00. Should have said, "See you later, Big Grits."
You should have. Yeah. But you know what? I love to hear stories about practice.
Uh-huh.
When you start talking about the legendary coach, I don't care if we're talking about football, golf, baseball, basketball, whatever. Mm-hmm. When you get the legendary coaches, the preparation for a game or a match or whatever the sport may be, and you hear people who are in the middle of it to break stuff down, to me, it's always fascinating. And I've been lucky enough to see a Coach Smith practice, and Eric's right now.
They were unbelievable.
And he never raised his voice.
Nope.
It was very businesslike, matter of fact, and the precision was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm going to share something here real quick. If you go to a practice, college basketball practice, most coaches now in the practice environment will start the scoreboard clock, and they'll run through the sequences of the practice based on the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Eric was talking about drills being 4 minutes, that timing element and tracking that timing element is something that Coach Smith developed, and then it became much more widely thought of in terms of efficiencies and practices over the years, and ultimately it led to time being put on the scoreboard. I didn't know that. I always just thought, well, you know, I knew Coach Smith ran drills for X number of minutes or Y number of minutes. And about 10 years ago, I had a coach come up to me while still doing Georgia Tech and say, "Do you know why we do that?" And I said, "Well, I guess that's the way y'all track it." He goes, "Well, that's Dean Smith."
That's right.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We were New Orleans bound for shows Monday and Tuesday.
Where were we eating Sunday night?
Sunday. Am I working Sunday?
Not Sunday night, you're not.
Sunday night, I'm not working.
No, we're going to eat somewhere. We're going to do it big Sunday night somewhere.
Probably. We'll figure it out.
Macri, are you in charge? By the way, can we see the Lumberjacks, Alex? The Lumberjacks? We got the Lumberjack shot. Look at him. Oh, Chester and Fuller shirt.
Gear nice. Today. I like it.
Macri will be on site in Orleans Parish Monday and Tuesday. Are you also in charge of taking care of the talent's dinner on Sunday night, those arrangements, Josh?
Nope.
At least you're honest. By the
way,
you
can hit up the dollar menu if you're interested. But.
I saw the list of worldwide leader and people.
Not since the Civil War has there been a march on New Orleans like the one that's getting ready to occur.
I mean, if not a single person from LSU or Clemson showed up, I think ESPN could sell out the Superdome. How many people are we bringing down there, man? Holy mackerel.
Drew, you've been affiliated with the parent company for a long time, right? Is that right?
I have.
Would you say that this is a march on one of the bigger ones?
The CFP is huge for ESPN and just the amount of people. I was there in Dallas in, what was that, 2016? Was that 2016?
Yeah, that was Ohio State beating Oregon.
Year one.
Yeah, 2015. It was unbelievable, the amount of people that were there. I think pregame, everybody on the field was a member of the ESPN community.
Well, so then it won't be a problem if I stand down there before the game.
Now, this is the first time that we've made an appearance as ESPN person. Well, I've done this SiriusXM thing, and, I mean, we're cool, man. We are a streamlined organization.
Yeah.
In, out, done, gone, easy.
Right.
When I saw the list for ESPN, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's
look
big.
At all the people.
Look at all the
for
people.
This event.
That's right.
It's a
packed.
Who's
who. I'm looking for, like, four extra tickets. You got a hookup?
Pack, do you think you can hook us up?
I do have tickets. Yeah. I'm the ticket guy.
I'm good to pay you, too.
Oh, I'm sure you are. I have seen you in action already. I got plenty of tickets. How many you need?
Four.
That's it?
Told you that. Yeah.
You want them together?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, if
lowers
possible.
And want good one, and want good ones. Yeah, we want good ones.
I'll overnight you the check.
You do that, and they're yours. I can assure you, at this rate, they will be yours.
We're going to tell that story one day.
No, we're not.
Okay. All right. College Football Playoff has released its list of the top – well, they're releasing the top 25 Monday night at halftime.
Right. We know 26 through 150.
That is correct. And the ACC is very decorated in the list that has been posted from 26 to 150. In fact, it starts at 26.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say this here at the top.
when this dude's 26.
When this guy's 26.
Right. You got it.
The first 25 better be real deal.
Yeah, that's it.
Doug Flutie, 28. LT, 42. Now, before anybody starts the wild and woolly here, these are current ACC institutions, okay?
Right. For example, by the way, at number 35 is Randy White, the Manster.
Yeah.
From University of Maryland, from 74. Again, a great, great player. But because Maryland no longer wants to be a part of this and gone to other ways,
right,
he's not on the list.
That's right.
So just to mention.
Yeah, we'll pass that along. Larry Fitzgerald, if he's 46, there better be really good wide receivers, right? Floyd Little, Bruce Smith, Dan Marino, Mike Ditka, Fred Biletnikoff, Ted Hendricks from Miami. We continue on. Bill Frelich, one of the all-time great guys, who we lost way too soon, 92. Deshaun Watson, 101.
Surprised he's at 101.
Julius Peppers, 104. Derrick Brooks, Warren Sapp, Michael Vick.
Crazy, right?
Where's Mike? How's Michael? Calvin Johnson?
We just talked about him.
Yeah. Charlie Ward, Choo Choo Justice, 133. Warwick Dunn and Ed Reed, 138.
Ed Reed, 138.
How about Charlie Choo Choo Justice, twice the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy?
This is a truly impossible task. Hey, it's impossible. 150 best players in college football history.
I'm going to hazard a guess at one.
Go for it.
It'll either be Herschel Walker or Archie Griffin.
Well, Archie did win two Heisman.
I understand. But
I
don't know this. I'm just hazarding the guess. Just based on watching the
– do you have like a 1 and a 1A? 1B, 1C? Because voted, that's probably how you would have voted.
No, I would have voted. I voted on this. I told you. I did the clicks.
I know. I didn't do this.
Oh. Drove me crazy.
You had more free time on your hands.
Everybody I thought could, you know, once I thought you were making progress, I'm going to be very interested to see how 1900 to 1950 is represented in this.
I have no earthly idea. Here's what I'm going to ask. Here's going to be our question for the entire group.
Are we going to poll this here at the bottom of the hour?
No, I'm just going to throw this one on you. I'm throwing this up against the wall. 1 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
How many ACC players will be from 1 to 25? If Deion Sanders is 26, now you got to figure, all right, if that's the standard, the prime time is at the 2-6 spot, which is hard for me to believe. How many ACC players will be included from 1 to 25 on Monday night?
All right, we're going to do that on the other side.
You like that? You got a guess on this one?
We'll do it on the other side.
All right.
Who from the ACC needs to be in the top 25?
If we pose that question to our listeners right now, you just saw the list. Who was left out of ACC lore? that should be in the top 25.
Right.
If Deion Sanders is 26,
yeah,
who in the ACC? Maybe the answer is zero. I don't know.
The answer might be zero.
I mean, it could be zero. If Deion is 26, then who from the ACC football history
right.
cracks the top 25?
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We pose a serious question.
Real serious.
That I'm not sure. Again, we're not going to know the answer until
we don't know the
Monday
answer.
Night.
We don't have any inside information on this, by
even the
way.
Folks in Bristol do not know
the
answer.
I mean, even the Lumberjacks don't have any idea. Yeah. And they know everything.
Will there be an ACC player in the top 25 of the all-time college football 150?
Josh, Drew, you do not know, correct? This is a Monday night halftime of the game deal, correct?
Correct. So the top 10 will actually be announced at halftime on Monday night.
Top 11. And then the top 25 is going to be released online at the same time.
Is that right?
Accurate.
Can I throw a name on you that I think will be in the top 25?
Sure. Let's go.
And Josh will like this because I'm going to go orange on him.
Jim Brown?
Jim Brown.
Should.
I mean, I'm just throwing one on there. Just there it goes.
I need to see the whole list here to see who's.
You know what I would really like to see before we see the top 25? I don't know if this is possible.
What's that?
Who voted on this? Oh, do we have a list of who voted?
Durham clicked. Durham clicked for 35 minutes.
Hold on a second. The reason I asked the question
sure,
is it would be interesting to me to see the demographic of the people that have voted on this. Their association, where
PAC's
they're
investigative
from.
Stuff
no,
is
no,
kicking
I'm
in.
I am just
I know you
curious.
Are. I get it. I'm with you.
I mean, you know, if this is a, for instance, an SEC heavy vote,
mm-hmm.
then I think Herschel Walker's got a great shot. Is this thing distributed around the country evenly where Pac-12, Big Ten, you know, voters?
Right.
I mean, I don't know the answer to that question.
Sure.
So luckily for you, we do have the answer to that question.
Oh, cool.
All 150 voters are available online on ESPN.com. So there's a group of retired writers, sports information directors, and broadcasters. There's 17 of them. There are 49 active writers, all of which are listed in alphabetical order. And then there's a couple of SIDs, university administrators. A couple. There are 20. And then there are 31 members of ESPN who got to vote, as well as 11 members of other networks. That would include Pac-12 Network, some people from Fox, Big Ten Network, and then 22 former coaches and players.
All right. Now, I got to vote on stuff. Did I vote on this? Is my name listed on there?
I don't know. Did you get to vote on it?
Is Western's name on the list? I voted on it.
I know that I was offered the opportunity to vote on the teams and games. And I'm pretty sure I voted on players, but I voted on so many clicks and things that it was bananas.
This is important.
So I can report that because I don't want to sidetrack myself, but you are on the list, but you are under the active writers list, which is a little surprising.
You write us emails. Does that count?
It's the first flag.
Well, let me ask you this: I'm not listed as somebody who had to do a lot of math, so that's good.
True.
Got that going for us, which is kind of nice.
That's good.
All right.
The question is there an ACC team, an ACC player of any ilk, current institution, in the top 25, and you suggest Jim Brown?
I think Jim Brown would be top 25 worthy. I'd be hard-pressed to believe that the University of Miami doesn't have a couple in the top 25. Again, I'm just guessing here.
I wasn't asked
to vote.
I mean, no. I'm sitting here looking. I don't see. I'm looking through the top, what we have, 26 to 150 from ACC institutions, and I see Marino, who was fourth. Let me ask you this. Is Hugh Green in the top 25? Hugh Green should have won a Heisman Trophy.
He was in the hunt.
But Julius Peppers is
behind Deshaun Watson.
104.
Three behind Deshaun Watson.
Now, is Hugh Green in the top 25?
Well, let me ask you this. Is a guy like Lamar Jackson in the top 25? I'm just asking. I don't have any idea. If Deshaun Watson's 101, could Lamar Jackson actually be in the top 25? I would be hard-pressed to believe that could be the case. If you're telling me that the bar of Deshaun Watson at 101, could Lamar Jackson be in the top 25?
All right, I got one for you.
Yes or no on that?
Lamar Jackson, I think, is capable of being in the top 25.
All right, so you think Lamar Jackson would be a top 25 guy and Deshaun Watson's 101? You serious?
I don't. The comparison on this I can't get into. Lamar Jackson, transformative player in the college game. Wouldn't you agree, running and throwing?
Yeah, I mean, you're asking me now. If you said to me...
You lower the degree, lower the flag.
If you're asking me, hey, here's Lamar Jackson, here's Deshaun Watson, from a college football perspective, who had the bigger impact, I don't even think it's close.
All right, let me ask you this one. Ed Reed is 138.
I know, it's hard
to believe. Sean Taylor in the top 25? Is Ray Lewis in the top 25?
I think there'll be a couple Miami guys in there, and I think Jim Brown will be in the top 25.
All right, we have calls.
Go for it.
Did you say Roy in Georgia? Is that right, Josh? Roy in Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Well, hey guys. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm in Cartersville, Georgia, home of Les Durham, and Trevor Lawrence.
In that order.
In that order, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, right. It's actually Vicky Newman Durham is whose hometown it is. So there we go.
Well, I enjoy your show. I work a lot. I'm a project manager in cancer research. I'm always busy, so I'm a little bit behind on your topics. I'm not sure that this topic is worthy of you guys, really. I mean, it seems like the ACC is being maybe disrespected. I think y'all far beyond that. I would just like to throw a name out there that probably not in ACC, but Fran Tarkington would be somebody I like to see where they fall on that list, although they're not. I think he played Georgia and not in ACC.
Right, yeah, okay. But thank you for the call.
I got a couple of other things if you have a minute.
Okay, sure.
My oldest son is one of your colleagues, Roy Philpott, I think, does some broadcasting for you guys.
Sure, I know Roy, yeah.
Yeah, so he's my oldest son, and he went to Clemson. A few years ago, I was watching this football game here in Cartersville at Cass High School versus Cartersville. And I saw this young player out there slinging darts down the field at 45 and 50 yards. And I called him up and said, "You're not going to believe what I'm watching." I think Trevor was a sophomore at that point in time. And he said, "Oh, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, I get no respect from him."
Appreciate it. I guess we lost him.
I think we lost him.
Yeah. Fran Tarkin is not on the list, by the way.
Is not on the list.
Not on the 150. No.
Wow. This is.
Well, he's not 26 to 150.
Yeah, he may be top 25 then, right? But even I don't think that would be the case.
No. Thanks for the call, Roy. And we thank the world of your son. Nice guy. Like him a lot. I didn't know Roy Philpott's dad lived in Cartersville. Learn something new every day.
I've never been to Cartersville.
You're going soon, though. We're going to eat the Capri.
You know, I know Vicky. God bless her.
Then we're going to go to the whistle stop.
I look forward to seeing Clifford D. Catt.
Next week on this show. Mm-hmm. On this show next week.
You think that'll be maybe the show 100?
After 8:30.
Yeah, because we had to put Jester and Fuller in timeout upstairs.
For those of you that asked, after seeing Clifford on Twitter yesterday, there's no mixing and matching of Jester and Fuller and Clifford in the first appearance. I can promise you that.
Yeah, we may have to work on that one a little bit.
So, anyway. They heard him. We're talking about him. I am very curious about this 25 and an ACC.
Well, I think there's going to – I'm going to give you – I think there will be three. I think there's going to be three ACC players in the top 25. It's going to be my gut. Okay. Gut number, all three. Right.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy. try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
We'll take some phone calls, which will include Tony in Alabama. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm going to go a little orange on you. I think, as you mentioned, Jim Brown will be on the list, but I think Ernie Davis is going to be on the list too, especially how high Floyd Little was. And then one more I got is hopefully Tony Dorsett from Pittsburgh, and that's my three running backs.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's a good one.
I like where you're going on that. That's why this is an interesting. I think we're going to spin this
great topic
to an ACC forum about how many will be in the top 25. And, you know, who knows? I mean, like I said, we try to get some inside information up in ESPN.
We got nothing. Lumberjacks gave us nothing.
They're keeping this thing under lock and key.
All right. Sam in Tennessee is next. Hi, Sam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My first two thoughts about the top 25 college players out of the ACC were Jim Brown and also Tony Dorsett, who ran at Pitt but added an E to his name later and changed the pronunciation of his last name to Tony Dorsett.
Okay. Appreciate that. Jim Brown, Tony Dorsett.
I mean, how would they not be on the list?
By the way, Charles Woodson is 41 to answer one of our questions from the commercial break. One ahead of Lawrence Taylor. He won the Heisman Trophy.
But
Charles Woodson, 41.
I got you. But moving forward,
yeah,
I mean, Jim Brown and Tony Dorsett have to be on the list, don't they?
So does Hugh Green.
You know, when you go back,
Hugh Green is not on 26 to 150. What about the Selmans? What about Billy? I got to find out. Billy Sims on this list?
Who is another one?
See, because Billy Sims would be in my top. Billy Sims is in the top 25 if he's not listed. And he's not on this list right now.
God, how many Oklahoma guys could you put
Adrian Peterson's 45, by the way. What about Thomas Lott with the bandana? Love Thomas Lott.
I love the old school Oklahoma Barry Switzer days now.
Adrian Peterson of Georgia Southern, who played for Paul Johnson, and Adrian Peterson of Oklahoma, both on 26 to 150. So is Eric Dickerson.
Is Johnny Rogers got to be in there?
He is. Archie Manning is 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many Mannings are going to be on this list?
Well, I don't know.
Peyton's going to be on there.
Peyton's going to be in the 25.
No doubt.
No doubt. Peyton will be at the 25.
Eli will not be.
I don't think so. Paul Hornung is 27. Slinging Sammy Baugh, who is media gold at TCU.
Deion is 26.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And Paul Hornung's 27.
Yeah.
Can you get any further from the end of the spectrum than 26 and 27?
But let me offer this to you very quickly on this, because I think this era has been forgotten, and that is the era between the – start of college football, 1919, right? And 1950.
Yeah, but I don't want to hear about 1919.
I'm sorry, Mark. You got Doc Blanchard and Glenn Davis in that era.
Right.
You've got Sammy Baugh, who's 29.
Give me Roger Staubach.
No, he's in the 60s.
Oh, heaven forbid.
But Roger Staubach's going to be on the 25, I would think.
Without question. Without question, he's going to be
on the 25. By the way, Chuck Bednarik is 30.
But I don't want to hear about some dude in 1906 that just ran it down Columbia's throat, beat him 6-0.
That's not 150 years.
Whatever. I mean, my point is, don't give me some ancient stiff. And we were talking about real football player. I mean, it's a whole different universe now. This is why I'm glad I didn't vote.
Brian in North Carolina. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you guys today?
Great, man.
Enjoy the show. Yeah, I had a thought on Roman Gabriel going back to, I guess, a little further, but I think Roman was a two-time All-ACC and two-time All-American. So
on the college football 150 list?
Yeah.
He will not be in the top. Look, Roman Gabriel, good player. He's not in the top 25, and he wasn't in the top 150 of the ACC players. I mean, you got to remember now, this is 150 years. This is 18, whatever to now, and this is my math. Here we go with math. By the way, my mom chuckles every time we start doing this on the show. She just drops her head in shame. God bless her.
By the way, how about a shout out to Miss Jean today?
Miss Jean is Miss Jean's having a little knee procedure done
thoughts
today.
Thoughts and prayers for speedy recovery.
Love you, Mom.
Yes, sir.
Tommy Novus was 54, by the way.
Tommy Novus.
Ricky Williams of Texas, 57. Ooh. Now, I'm saying the reason I'm throwing these out, people go, why is he talking about Texas? Well, the reason I'm bringing those guys to the table is those are guys who were premier players in the game when they played, and that's where they are. Like Deion Sanders, 26. It's unbelievable.
I know it's right on the cusp, but Deion Sanders is one of the top 25, man.
You want a real problem? How about Ronnie Lott is 58? Eric in North Carolina. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the show and this unbelievable conversation, which may go to tomorrow's show.
I've got a question or a statement. If Deshaun Watson's 101 and Lamar Jackson's in the top 25, then they ought to quit reading the list. There's no way that's humanly possible.
I totally agree. I completely agree with that statement.
I don't disagree with you. I just somehow know how this stuff goes.
That's no knock on Lamar. It isn't, but I know. Come on now. Yeah. What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's the interesting thing I'm finding, and here's the reason I wanted to see the 26 through the 150, and thank you for the call, Eric, is I wanted to see if that first era of football was recognized. And I'm looking through the list here to see if I find somebody, and Sammy Baugh in the 30s, is about the earliest I've seen so far. Now, here's Niall Kinnick from Iowa, the Heisman Trophy winner who died at war, 1937 to 1939, which is a phenomenal story. Jay Berwanger, the first winner of the Heisman Trophy, 1933 to 35. Do you know what the University of Chicago's nickname was?
The Mighty Phoenix?
No, they were not the Phoenix. They were the Maroons. Champ Bailey, 149.
Champ Bailey,
149. By the way, Baker Mayfield, 150.
Can I give you a listing with a number that will blow you away?
Sure.
The NCAA net rankings. You ready?
Yeah.
Prepare yourself.
Okay.
North Carolina, 103.
Oh, boy.
Clemson, 102.
Saturday. Just outside the top 100 Saturday.
Oh, my wow. God.
Tomorrow on this show, safe to say we're going to keep talking about this? I would think so.
This topic's got some juice.
I think this topic has some juice.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the CFB 150, and we'll break down and suspect the top 25.
Can we do one more quick shout-out?
Sure.
Jeopardy last night.
Oh, gosh.
Real quick. Just quick.
Yeah.
One of the topics, one of the storylines last night was college football.
Really?
Three of the smartest people on the planet Earth.
Couldn't answer any of it.
Both missed as simple, well, and it wasn't simple. It's about where Steve Largent went to college.
Okay.
First guy, Oklahoma. Next guy, Oklahoma State. Hey, third guy, you in the mood? Want no part of it. Three smartest people on the planet. College football, they butchered it last night.
Huh.
Just saying.
All right.
That's all I got for you on that one.
By the way, women's basketball tonight on this network. There it is right there. Everybody's 6 o'clock. Fine. Duke is at Virginia. Jen Hildreth, LaChana Robinson will be at John Paul Jones Arena. Number 7, Louisville is at Miami. Pam Ward, Debbie Antonelli will be courtside at the Watsco Center. Women's doubleheader tonight here on ACC Network. Tom Luganbill's 2020 debut in the basement tomorrow. We will talk about this list and more. We'll get your phone calls as well as we get ready to go to New Orleans and a big basketball weekend in the ACC.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.